Good morning and welcome to Daily Inspirations. It's Jonathan again, and in yesterday's message we looked at the first chapter of Ephesians and how Christ is sufficient. The chapter ended up talking about Paul was thanking God for the church at Ephesus, and then he finished by talking about Christ, how he is all-sufficient, he is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, and everything is put under his feet, and the church being his body. So, we want to move from that into chapter 2, and Paul goes right from that thought of Christ being sufficient, being the complete sacrifice high above everything else, now king and ruler. He goes from that into the thought of who we are, and particularly the Gentiles he's talking about in this chapter. And so we're going to go down through this chapter, and he talks about how the Gentiles were brought into favor and the favor and worship of God, just like the Jews had been previously. But both Jews and Gentiles being brought more directly into relationship with God, and the old law being done away. So I'm going to read through this first. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you were saved, and raised us with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you, who no longer are strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Okay, so his main topic here in this chapter is how that as Christ was, we could say, offered as that sacrifice, or as Christ died on the cross, that sacrifice for us, and he has done away with that old law. And those who he says were near, the Jews, they have been brought closer. And because of now the ability to have that direct relationship with God, and also us Gentiles who were once far off, he uses some word pictures here, who once were far off or far from God, now we also are on the same level ground as the Jews, and we are brought all the way up to the point of having that personal relationship with God, like no one had before Jesus' death, at least not in the same way as today. So let's go down just briefly, take a couple minutes to breeze down through this chapter. We don't have time to dig into all the good meat here. So he starts out by saying, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, that's everyone. The Jews, many of the Jews were very dead in their trespasses and sins. Some of them tried to follow the law, but in Jesus' day we saw that it became very much of a formal religion, and sadly many of them did not really have a true heart after God. As Jesus brought out, speaking with the Pharisees and many of the rulers of the day, religious rulers, they just really didn't have a heart for God. It was an empty religion. And, of course, the Gentiles and all the rest were very far from God as well. They didn't even act like they were worshiping God. So he says, you who are dead in trespasses and sins, followed the course of the world, the prince of the power of the air, spirit that is working in the sons of disobedience, dark picture here, lived in the passions of our flesh, the desires of the body and the mind, whatever they felt like. They were the children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. That fits all of us without God, without God in our lives. That's who man is. And then in verse 4 he says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us. God created us, and we are his possession. He deserves that we serve him. And God could have turned his back on the world and said, you know, they have all sinned, they've taken their own way, and he could have destroyed it and started over new. But he didn't. He decided to give his creation a chance to worship him and to serve him of their own free will. And so here in verse 4, he says, God, rich in mercy, and because of his great love toward us. He had a great love toward a nasty bunch of people here on earth. It says, even when we were dead, while we were still sinners, he made us alive together with Christ, spiritually alive, with Christ and because of Christ's death and resurrection. He says, but he sticks this little parenthesis in here. He says, by grace you have been saved. We weren't able to pull ourselves up with our own bootstraps. There wasn't enough we could do. He raised us up with him, seated us in heavenly places. Complete change from sinful, ugly, self-serving, hateful people. Complete change to being seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's in a spiritual sense today, and someday we will be in glory with him if we serve him faithfully. And we can literally sit with him in heavenly places. He talks about in the coming ages, he will show his riches of grace toward us. And again, in verse 8, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, lest so that no one may boast. There is nothing we can do to be good enough to God. One passage says, our own good works are like filthy rags to God. There is absolutely nothing we can do to be good enough without accepting Jesus' sacrifice for us. So we are saved through faith in him, by grace, by God's enabling power. We are saved. But then in verse 10 he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." So we are not saved by our own good works. It does not please God at all to try to save ourselves by being good. We need to accept Christ's gift of salvation. But then, when we have been saved, when we have chosen to serve God, then because of the grace and enabling power that he puts in our lives, then we will naturally, we will at least somewhat naturally, we will desire to do those good things that God wants us to do, whether it's simply to reach out to a neighbor, a sad friend who needs help, or to share the gospel with someone who's just hurting. A good work is not so much something that we plan to do. Now, today I need to do a good work. But rather, good works are those things that God puts in our path every day while we're working at the job, wherever we are, and there's an opportunity that comes to put in a word for God or to lend a helping hand and to reflect it on as because of Jesus. Those are those good works that God wants us to do. And so those things don't save us, but rather those good works are the results of a saved heart. If we do good works without a saved heart, God says that is filthy rags. That is of no use to him. So what a wonderful thing to have Christ in our hearts and then to carry out God's plan and to work for him. So my time's about up. Let me quickly go through the rest of the chapter. He talks about the Gentiles. The main thrust of this chapter then, Gentiles, he says, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. I think he's saying the circumcision being the Jews called the Gentiles the uncircumcised. And so, therefore, he says in verse 11, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision. Down to verse 12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. Talks about being alienated, strangers, having no hope. Verse 13, but now in Christ you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 14, he is our peace. He's broken down that wall of hostility, that dividing wall between the Jews and Gentiles. There was a lot of hostility, at least in thought, if not in actual physical hostility, Jews and Gentiles. And he says God has broken down and abolished that wall. We are now, in verse 15, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, the old law, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. Hallelujah. We are on equal standing, equal ground with everyone else in the world, Jew or Gentile. And when we come to the foot of the cross and accept Jesus. So he talks about that being broken down and peace. We're no longer strangers. We're fellow citizens. And then he finishes the chapter by talking about the church as a building, a word picture again. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. What a blessing. We are all on equal ground before God, and we can accept his salvation, and then he gives us the power and grace to serve him in those good works that he wants us to do. So God bless your day.